This is a Dubai Eye 103.8 podcast.
Hey, you're listening to the Bite Size Business Breakfast. Everything Tom, Rich and myself have been up to on a happy Thursday, which is not the end of the week. Still so confusing. That includes finding out about a brand new index that's coming up from Property Finder and the guys at the Dubai Land Department. They already track the sales prices here in Dubai, but now they track the rental prices as well, or at least they are about to. We've found out more from Lynette Sarchetto, who is their data-crunching woman. Speaking of data, we've also been looking at where the money is going when it comes to funding startups. That's with Triska Hamid from WAMDA. And we've been talking about that Fed announcement that we heard overnight. Interest rate rises are coming mid-March. We've been speaking to Ed Bell, an economist at Emirates NBD.
Catch up on the business headlines with the Bite-Sized Business Breakfast.
Serena Kelly's with us in the studio. Serena, thanks for sticking around.
Morning, guys.
Let's talk about some good news for our listeners from Africa. We've had so many messages over the past couple of weeks, haven't we, from listeners from many parts of Africa, particularly South Africa, saying, yeah. why are the flights not operating? So what can you tell us?
The UAE will be resuming all inbound flights from 12 African countries. This comes into effect this Saturday, so January 29th from 2:30 in the afternoon. It'll affect passengers and transit passengers from Kenya, Tanzania, Ethiopia, Nigeria, Republic of Congo, South Africa, Botswana, Eswatini, Lesotho, Mozambique, Namibia and Zimbabwe. Meanwhile, entry measures have been updated for travellers coming in from Uganda, Ghana and Rwanda. So this comes from the General Civil Aviation Authority and, of course, NCEMA, National Emergency Crisis and Disaster Emergency Management Authority. So all passengers coming from these countries will need to do the following. You'll need a negative COVID-19 test to board. Results can't be more than 48 hours old, and the results need to come from an approved lab in the country. You'll need a rapid PCR test, which you take at the airport of departure, and then another
rapid PCR at the airport of departure.
Yes, that's correct. So when you arrive at the airport, your airport should have facilities to do that, because it's something similar that India has in place as well for their airports when departing. And then another PCR test on arrival in the UAE as well. Those suffering from COVID-19 symptoms are advised not to travel, of course. Now, as this is an announcement that's been made overnight, just bear with your airlines, because they will be updating their websites and information accordingly. So again, this is something coming to effect only on Saturday afternoon. But naturally, you'll be seeing updates in due course online as well.
But that is a triple whammy.
Yeah.
48-hour PCR test. PCR test at the airport of departure, PCR test when you land in Abu Dhabi or Dubai or Sharjah or wherever it is.
Exactly, yeah. I think it's the idea that obviously with 48 hours as in to board, there's anything that can happen in between that space of time, because in most cases you wait for your results, you're supposed to isolate. And let's face it, not everybody can always be as responsible or have commitments. But the idea is take your test, isolate, get your results, then you can move about freely. But in this case, obviously, they just want to make sure that everybody is protected and safe.
Good to know. Thank you very much indeed. Ian Mark, among the people who have been texting in over the past few days, looking forward to flights to Africa resuming. So I hope that's good news for you. Now, let's talk about a warning from the UAE's public prosecution, Serena. And this is about sharing videos, in particular, related to the Houthi attacks in the UAE.
That's right. So the UAE's public prosecution is urging the public, please do not publish or share videos that could harm national security. It comes as the authority summoned several individuals who circulated a video on social media that showed defense forces intercepting the Houthis' attempts to target vital facilities in the UAE. So Attorney General Dr. Hamad Saif al-Shamsi said that the authorities have adopted a transparent approach to releasing facts and information, which they have, because we have been sharing the information as it's been coming in during the incidents that have happened over the past week. He also pointed out the risks of spreading rumors and how it could create panic. The official emphasized that the public prosecution will take appropriate legal action against related crimes to protect the nation's interests, public order and security.
Very quickly, can you give us an update on COVID cases?
I can do. So Monday, you saw 2,629 new cases. Tuesday, 2,504. Yesterday, 2,369 new cases. That's after more than 500,000 tests were conducted across the UAE. Active cases have gone up to 59,349.
Serena Kelly, thank you very much indeed.
More details on the Aero News Centre app.
Just the highlights. This is the Bite-Sized Business Breakfast.
And we are going to find out what rising interest rates could mean for property here in the UAE. Very pleased to be joined by Lynette Sacchetto, who is the Director of Research and Data at Property Finder Group. Lynette, good morning. Thanks for joining us.
Hi, Brandy. Good morning. Nice to talk to you.
Let's have a look at what we have seen come out of the US in the last 24 hours. And that is, as many expected, the Fed Chair Jay Powell confirming that there will be interest rate rises this year. What could that mean for the property market here in Dubai?
You know, to be honest, our rates are still very good. Even if we do have a rate increase, even if it's by a half a point or even a full point, we'll still be under the subpar 5%, which is still a very good interest rate for mortgage. So I really do not see it having much of an effect here in the UAE. The property market is booming. We're seeing record high transactions month on month, which hasn't stopped over the last year. In fact, January, we had the all-time high amount of real estate transactions in 2022 thus far. So we're kicking off to a good start. I do not see the interest rate hike having much of an effect here on the real estate market.
Mid-March is what we are looking at. Could we see people looking to book in earlier? Could we see banks feeling differently about fixed rates?
Well, what we're seeing now is actually very interesting. So we had pretty much of a peak, I would say, in H2 of last year, precisely towards the end of Q3, right? So we had a peak over... there was a lot of transactions. Prices have increased pretty significantly over the year. And then things started to kind of stabilize, if you want to put it that way. However, what we started to see over the last month and a half, is we're starting to see another rise in the market. We're starting to see transactions increase. We're starting to see the inquiries go up. We're starting to see more people view properties for sales for rent. And we're starting to see prices creep a little bit up as well. So I do think the activity is going to continue to go in the upward trend this quarter. Whether or not interest rates has an effect on that, like I said, I don't see that being part of the play, because most people here in the UAE, they're on a variable interest rate with the bank. Not many do fixed rates. That's very traditional from, you know, way back in the day, especially from our home countries where we all fix our interest rates. That hasn't really been the trend here in the UAE over the last 5 years. So I don't really see that being a factor. However, as I said, we are starting to see a new peak enter into the market.
What has January been like? I know, looking at your data, that 2021 hit multi-year highs. You saw the value of deals more than doubling. 27 days into January, what's your gut feel for this month?
Well, as I said, we've had the best January on record as of yesterday. So we had over 5,000 transactions this month, equating to a little bit over 14 billion dirhams. So we started off the year very strong. And as I said, the inquiries are up. The search levels are up at Property Finder. We're starting to see, you know, a lot of especially the buyers in the market, they were looking at the prices that the sellers were setting, which was pretty high. You know, sellers had very high expectations. They wanted, you know, the most money for their property. And as I said last year, it was very steady towards the end of the year because the buyers were kind of on the fence. They didn't know if they really wanted to, you know, get in at that price point. But what I'm seeing now, especially after having conversations with many of our clients, we're starting to see that buyers are, you know, they're giving in to these seller prices. They're buying because they want to secure their properties now because they know that the prices are going to continue to increase, especially in the popular areas, the prime popular areas and the villa townhouse communities.
And at the same time, you guys have been busy. You've signed another MOU with the Dubai Land Department on the data front. Tell me what that's all about.
Yes, so this is very exciting. So as you know, in 2019, we signed our first MOU, which was to produce the first initial, house price index for the city of Dubai called Muasher. And we came out with the sales index every single month since then. And I'm so happy that now we are going to be able to publish the rental index, which is part of Muasher as well. And this will be the first time that rental, which is the Ajari data, will be made public to the community and to investors worldwide. And this is really exciting because, you know, data beats opinion. And ever since I've been here, since 2007, there's always been so many opinions on the rental market. This is happening. Rents are going up. They're going down. Occupancy rates. Well, you know what? Now the proof is in the pudding, as we say. We have the data and we can talk about it. So that's very, very exciting. And that report will be out any day now.
Okay. So the first one will be out for January. We'll see it this month.
Absolutely. And there's some really exciting facts. I'll give you a little sneak peek because you guys are my favorite. In the commercial rental market, believe it or not, we broke all records, all-time high of rental for the commercial property. And we had a significant increase from 2020 as well as from the peak in 2016.
So you're going to cover both commercial and residential property in this?
Absolutely.
We look forward to speaking to you about the first numbers. Lynette Sacchetto from Property Finder Group joining us this morning. She is the Director of Research and Data at the company, talking to us about what could happen with interest rate rises and also an exciting new index. And we do love a bit of data here on the Business Breakfast.
This is the Bite Size Business Breakfast, exclusively on DubaiEye1038.com.
Right, let's turn our attention, shall we, to some of the big stories of the day, none more so than the latest story coming out of Wamda. Startups in the MENA region have raised a record-breaking $2.87 billion across some 639 deals last year. That's according to Wamda Capital's investment report for 2021, which is at and about for your perusal. To find out more, we've been speaking with Triska Hamid from Wamda. She began by explaining the main findings from their report.
We've just published a report looking at investments in startups based in the Middle East and North Africa, and we found that in 2021, $2.87 billion was invested across 639 deals. Now, this is a substantial amount. It's a record-breaking amount. And given that it's more than four times what was invested in 2020, it gives us a sense of just how rapidly the startup ecosystem has been growing in the region.
Well, Triska went on to break down which countries were especially active when it came to raising money for startups.
Now, most of this was invested in startups based in the UAE. About $1.5 billion was invested across 196 deals. This is partly because the UAE and Dubai in particular remains the startup hub for the entire region. This is where most of the startups are based. But it's also one of the most expensive cities to both launch and operate a business, and so startups require larger ticket sizes. If we compare it to the two other very active markets in the region, Egypt and Saudi Arabia, we see a similar number of startups raise investment last year, but the amount they raised was substantially lower. So in Egypt, 146 startups raised investment, but they only raised $445 million. And in Saudi Arabia, it was 138 startups that raised investment, and they raised around $650 million. Those three combined account for 87% of the total amount raised last year. Saying that, there's quite a lot of activity picking up in the smaller markets. We've seen Morocco, Tunisia, Algeria, even Iraq, Sudan and Libya see startups raise investment.
So Triska, tell us which kind of startups were successful in 2021?
The bulk of investments last year went towards fintech. That includes cloud kitchens, e-grocery, food delivery, also e-commerce, logistics, and crucially, fintech. Fintech was arguably the hottest sector last year and encompasses so many different types of startups, from those that enable online payments to those that enable financial inclusion, providing access to those who don't have a bank account. There's so much opportunity in the fintech space, it's likely to attract the bulk of investments this year. And perhaps some of the startups that didn't perform as well, I'd argue that it would be edtech and health tech. We saw quite a lot of excitement around things like telemedicine and online education, but the amount of investment going towards those sort of startups isn't anywhere near as the amount that went towards, say, fintech or e-commerce.
Triska said there was also an imbalance when it came to money invested in startups founded by women versus startups founded by men.
Although many milestones were achieved last year, when we break down those investment figures according to gender, it paints a very different picture. So of that $2.87 billion raised, just $34.6 million was invested in startups founded by women. That's 1.2% of the total. When we consider the amount raised by startups founded by both men and women, they did a bit better. They raised $210 million. But it's a pitiful amount when you consider the fact that startups founded by men raised $2.6 billion, or 91.5%. It's reflective of wider global trends, but 1.2% is not enough. We need to have a better balance when it comes to how much is invested in women-founded startups.
And finally, Triska shared WAMDA's outlook for startups in the region here for 2022.
Judging by the amount invested already in January this year, we'll likely see more records being broken in 2022. Startups will likely raise in excess of $3 billion by the end of this year. We'll see more foreign investors come to the region and really take advantage of the growth here. And I think investment trends will continue in a similar fashion. So a greater investment in fintech, in e-commerce, in logistics, and food tech. But I really hope that we can bridge that gender investment gap and see more investment go towards women-founded startups.
That was Triska Hamid from WAMDA breaking down the findings from the latest WAMDA Capital Investment Report 2021.
Catch up on the business headlines with the Bite-Sized Business Breakfast.
Right now, let's talk about economics, because a big announcement overnight from the Federal Reserve and a big press conference from the head of the Federal Reserve, Jerome Powell. It has implications for us here in Dubai, the UAE and the wider region. So joining us on the line now, I'm delighted to say, is Ed Bell. He's the Senior Director of Market Economics at Emirates NBD. Ed, good morning. Thanks for being with us.
Good morning.
Ed, I'm going to get your thoughts in a second. First of all, though, let's hear from Jerome Powell overnight. This is what he said about interest rates, and essentially he confirmed what we all suspected, the Fed is going to raise them.
I would say, and this view is widely held on the committee, that both sides of the mandate are calling for us to move steadily away from the very highly accommodative policies we put in place during the challenging economic conditions that the economy faced earlier in the pandemic. And again, very broad support on the committee for the judgment that it will soon be appropriate to raise the target range for the federal funds rate.
So, Ed, what do you make of that, and what does it mean for us here in the UAE? What are you expecting?
Well, I think what we got from the Fed last night, and it's really what the market was looking for, was that they lined up the March meeting as to when they were going to start to raise interest rates. So Jerome Powell there referring to the dual mandates of the Fed, which are stable prices and unemployment coming lower. They've really got the unemployment market pretty much as good as it's going to get, or the labor market, I should say, and it looks like it's going to go on its own steam for really the much of 2022. So that leaves the focus very much squarely on inflation, and I think what we have from the press conference elsewhere from Powell was a worry that inflation is going to get away from the Fed, that it's going to get out of control, that there's risk that it's not going to dissipate this year, that some of the inflationary drivers are going to be much more sustained. So for the way for them to deal with that is through higher interest rates. Nobody was looking for them at this meeting. This is really, I think, for the Fed just to prepare the market that, yes, they are committed to this policy of normalizing monetary policy via tightening rates this year, and that we're going to see them steadily increasing from March onwards. Now, our baseline assumption had been that the Fed was going to be raising rates by 4 rates this year, but it did look like the Fed chair was prepared to keep the market, or to keep their policy response, he described it as nimble, which would mean that they could potentially go as many as 5 times this year if they needed to. So we'll be watching very closely to see how the data develops, whether or not that kind of more aggressive rate hiking policy is going to be needed from the Fed this year.
Okay.
Now, in terms of how it comes back to us here in the UAE, we directly import our monetary policy from the Fed. So as we get higher interest rates in the United States, we're going to be getting higher interest rates here in the UAE as well.
So he had a lot to say about the jobs market, and you mentioned that there, Ed, as well. Let's just remind ourselves what Jay Powell had to say about the jobs market, the labour market in America, and he says it's absolutely on fire at the moment.
This is, by so many measures, a historically tight labour market. Record levels of job openings, of quits. Wages are moving up at the highest pace they have in decades. If you look at surveys of workers, they find jobs plentiful. Look at surveys of companies, they find workers scarce. And all of those readings are at levels really that we haven't seen in a long time, and in some cases ever. So this is a very, very strong labor market. And my strong sense is that we can move rates up without having to, severely undermine it.
Okay, so Jay Powell says he's confident they can move rates up without undermining the strong economy and the strong labor market. Do you agree, or is there a risk, Ed, that raising interest rates so aggressively will cause, if not a recession, then certainly a marked slowdown in the U.S. economy?
Well, I think that's always the risk when you're going through a period of exiting really extraordinarily loose policy that we had introduced during the pandemic to one where we're getting the brakes being pushed in, not just gently, but full pedal to the metal, and probably the emergency brake and parking brake thrown in as well on top of that. Now, the labor market does look like, as the Fed chair has mentioned, that it's very strong, and certainly it's a very strong labor market for workers, which is a nice kind of change to see from the period that we've seen in the last, say, decade and a half. The wages are increasing, and that's pretty broad-based, and certainly wages are increasing for communities in the U.S. that really need them, sort of lower-income workers getting higher wages. That's certainly a very welcome economic development. I think the risk is if the monetary policy comes in very tightly, that it's really going to start to freeze out people who are just coming back into the labor market at this stage of the recovery and potentially do some economic damage there. Is the U.S. going to go back into a kind of full-throttled recession like we saw in 2020 as a result of higher interest rates? Probably not, given how well the recovery is on pace so far. And there's certainly a lot of exogenous factors that would have to play into that as well to make a recession worse. But there is always the risk that the Fed could tighten too aggressively. We didn't see much attunement to that view from the Fed last night, certainly not from the commentary from the chair. I think the markets took his views as very hawkish, very aggressive, so we saw some real reorientation in market pricing last night. But nevertheless, it is always the risk that they could tip the market back or tip the economy into a recession.
Ed Bell of Emirates NBD, thanks very much indeed for your time this morning. Business Breakfast, Dubai Eye 103.8.
You've been listening to a Dubai Eye 103.8 podcast. To enjoy lots more from Dubai Eye in the United Arab Emirates, just go to dubaieye1038.com or find them wherever you normally get your podcasts.